It's time for Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM. Tune in over the next hour as Corey talks about the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
All righty, good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Central, covering the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. I'm Corey Geiger. Absolutely beautiful day in our region. Hopefully you've got some good plans for the weekend. 1 hour to go in the work week on a Friday. Feels good Friday. Let's try to have some positive vibes today. Some good stuff, good energy on a feel good Friday. I'm going to talk some baseball here in a little bit. Had a terrific baseball issue came up 3 or 4 days ago, and I've been meaning to get back to it ever since. Jerry and Bellwood called in. We were talking about the shift in baseball, banning the shift, the way hitters react to it, how we view modern day baseball players. I want to get into some of that stuff here in a little bit. And if you want to join us, as always, for anything that's on your mind, 946-0435. We've got a bunch of good shows this week. Nathan was in yesterday. We did famous movie quotes from sports movies after the passing, sad passing of Gene Hackman. And there's still some kind of weird, peculiar things going on with that whole investigation of what happened to Gene Hackman and his wife and their dog all dying in the house. So I'm curious to follow how that whole thing plays out. But we played his a speech from him from Hoosiers. We did a speech from Miracle. We did a speech from Friday Night Lights, from Field of Dreams. Just great, great stuff on the show yesterday. And we've had a lot of good calls this week. So keep it up, 946-0435. Anything that you want to discuss, whatever you want to ask me, any kind of topic today. Dan in Altoona starts off. What do you got, buddy? How you doing, man?
Are you going to throw some baseballs today?
Oh, we have baseball practice right after this, Dan.
You do, so it started already.
Oh, baseball practice started in December, Dan.
Well, indoors at that
time. Yeah, indoors, yeah. We practice baseball a lot, my man.
Now, will you be outside today?
Nope, we'll be indoors. My boy has a practice with his travel ball team here in a little while at an indoor facility, so we're getting close. We're about 4 weeks away from the start of our season.
Well, it's a good day to be outside.
You got that? I'm telling you, man, it's beautiful outside. After the winter we've gone through, and it snowed this morning, actually, but to look outside and see the sun, it puts a smile on your face.
Oh, absolutely it does. Now, my main topic today, now, I haven't heard from caller number two, and it's 2 weeks today when he called on Dave Shannon on a Friday about if he was going to the campus for the BG boys and girls basketball game.
So we haven't heard from caller number two this week. Is that right? So are you angling for Dan to move up into caller number two?
No. No, I want to stay at number six.
All right. Very good.
And then Jerry, life experiences. That was a classic, life experiences on Wednesday. You know.
Yep.
You remember the topic he went through and everything?
I do. If you want to mention it, you can. We've had a lot of really good discussions this week from folks bringing up fascinating things.
Well, see, I was surprised at Jerry when being Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, I believe that's the denomination and things. Well, I'm surprised he's kind of anti-BG. but a fan of Notre Dame.
Where do you get these anti? I've never gotten that Jerry's anti-BG, is he?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, even on the talk show.
Well, here's the thing. Look, I'm not here to speak for other people.
Jerry
did coach at Bellwood, so maybe he's just against BG because they were competing.
No, it's not that. It wasn't, by no means, it wasn't that at all. None. I don't mean to go down that rabbit hole whatsoever. It's just, I think it's why BG might be so successful in the class that they're in, especially the girls. That's the vibe I've got. Oh, this is for, 10 years anyways. And that's the vibe I've got. And then what really floored me on Wednesday's topic, you know, that he was a Notre Dame fan in the playoffs. See, now I was taking that he's a Notre Dame fan somewhat, period.
So let me just mention. Okay, so I'll follow this slippery slope a little bit. Are you saying if you're not a fan of a local Catholic school, then you shouldn't be a fan of a Catholic college?
No, I'm not saying that.
Because I do have trouble. And look, I kind of half jokingly a month or two ago, I don't know if you heard it or not, but we did a show of like, I frankly don't understand why people root for Notre Dame. I don't get Notre Dame. I don't get the mystique and the allure of Notre Dame. If you're rooting for Notre Dame because you're Catholic, well then Baptists don't root for Baptist universities. And I mean, to root for a university sports team because of religion is so completely bonkers to me. But I tread these paths very carefully because you people do whatever they want with their religion. But if you're rooting for a sports team because they follow your religious beliefs, that's nuts to me. That makes zero sense to me whatsoever.
Well, and I called in. I remember exactly what you were talking about, and I remember you're the conversation with about Notre Dame. And I called in and I says, I follow Notre Dame because I'm a practicing Roman Catholic, and that's the way it is. That's the way I was raised, basically. You know, I was raised in a Catholic family,
right? And I get that. And I was raised in a sports scenario that you root for sports teams because of sports. And Dan, you've heard me say this. I don't even know why somebody would be a Pirates fan. You're not getting anything out of that relationship from a sports standpoint. So in my one-track mind, I root for teams based on what they present to me from a sports standpoint. Now, look, Notre Dame football has been great, you know, for generations and generations. But when I grew up in the 80s, they sucked. They weren't any good. And so, I grew up with Notre Dame not understanding why there were so many people who loved Notre Dame, and yet this team was awful. And it's like, okay, well, now here we are again, and people are jumping back on the Notre Dame bandwagon because they've been good for the last 7 or 8 years. Well, I mean, look, if you're rooting for people, if you're rooting for a sports team because of religion, again, I'll reiterate, I don't care what religion. I don't care what religion you are. You know, I know the Mormons will root for BYU. You know, that's a Latter-day Saint kind of thing out there. My mind just doesn't operate that way. I keep sports separate from all of that stuff.
Now, your point's well taken, and I'll let you go now because you give me plenty of time. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Dan. 946-0435. Okay, hey, look, that's an interesting topic. Basically, what he was saying was, if you're not a BG fan but you root for Notre Dame, and that I guess I can see some scenarios there. But all right, let's move on. We've got Dave in Altoona. What is up, Dave? How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Corey. I'm doing well. Talking about your baseball topic. I still am a casual baseball fan. I don't, as far as the Pirates ever winning again, I mean, I don't hold out any hope. I just, there's too much, it's gotten worse between the haves and the have-nots. I mean, basically, you have the Yankees, Mets, and Dodgers. I mean, they spend all the money.
Yep.
And they have all the money. They have all the revenue sources. I mean, I personally am not. I am actually stunned that baseball has not contracted.
That's an interesting point. That's an interesting point. There are teams at the bottom of the spectrum, like the A's and the Rays and the Pirates. You know, the A's and the Rays have had good teams. The Rays more so lately, but the A's for a long time, even though they had low payrolls, they still had good teams. And so maybe I guess the thought of contracting teams that win, that's a bad look for any sport. But you know, look at what's happened to the Oakland A's. They've been in constant financial turmoil.
They're in Sacramento for the next 3 years.
Yeah, exactly. Just constant financial turmoil. Yep.
I just can't get in to just the fact that, you know, there's too much. I mean, the Dodgers, you know, whoopee, the Dodgers won the World Series. If I spent that amount of money, I might be able to win the World Series too. It doesn't guarantee that you'll win if you spend a ton of money, but I could almost bet you that you'll be able to compete.
Here's the question I have for you, Dave, because you bring this up, and this is always a fascinating issue in Central and Western Pennsylvania. Because the Pirates are so cheap, and because the Pirates' owner is so ridiculously cheap and awful, do we here, who follow the Pirates, get angrier than most people in the rest of the country over yeah. teams like the Dodgers and the Yankees? Are you following what I'm saying? The Major League Baseball team here is so laughably cheap, and the owner is such a horrifically cheap, awful owner that it makes us angrier about the Dodgers and the Yankees.
Yeah, it makes it. I got a question for you, if you don't mind me asking.
No, I want you. I want you to answer that question. Do you think that fans here? Because look, fans in St. Louis. I don't think fans in St. Louis bitch as much about the Dodgers as we do here. But when the Pirates have a payroll that's laughable every year, there's no way in the world that the Pirates should ever even remotely expect to contend with the likes of the Dodgers.
How many times have I told you? And I know you used to work for the Mirror, and we know that.
And I would guess that you probably feel that I'm much more honest about the Pirates' ownership now than I ever was, right?
Well, no, you were pretty honest. I just wondered how you dealt with it when you worked at the Mirror and you knew the Pirates.
I could never call him a horrifically cheap owner like I did three times in the last minute.
You just did now.
I could have never said that. Or else there would have been major repercussions for me.
Yeah.
But now I can call him an awful leech of an owner who is an absolute embarrassment to Western Pennsylvania.
He doesn't spend. I mean, you know, you have all this revenue sharing. Put money into the team, and I'll let you go, Corey. Yep. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it. Hey, look. The way the Pirates operate is like a local convenience store operates. You got to count every penny. You got to make sure your bean counters are on top of every nickel and dime. That's how the Pirates operate, because he doesn't own a professional baseball team. He owns a cash cow business that all he cares about is making money. That's who the Pittsburgh Pirates owner is. And it's ridiculous, and I think everybody realizes that. And I'm not going out on a limb calling him out on it.
Why celebrate St. Patrick's Day for just one day when you can celebrate for 3 days? Thursday, March 13th through Saturday, March 15th, it's the Premium Cigar Trifecta St. Patrick's Day event at J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. The event will take place at both J.M. Boswell stores, Chambersburg and Alexandria. Three cigar companies, Drew Estate, General Cigar, and Davidoff, will come together for this three-day event. It's the Premium Cigar Trifecta St. Patrick's Day event, Thursday, March 13th through Saturday, March 15th, at both the Chambersburg and Alexandria stores of J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. For more information, visit boswellpipes.com.
It's February, and TML Moore Enterprises, owners of Russell Tire and Central PA Truck and Equipment Sales, has a sweetheart of a deal for you. Get a lube, oil, and filter service that includes up to 5 quarts of conventional oil, belt and hose inspection, tire air pressure set, rotation of all 4 tires, brake inspection, and battery condition inspection, all for just $59.99. Russell Tire and Central PA Truck and Equipment Sales are also offering a free Car Care Club membership if you spend $500 or more on any service during the month of February. Each membership is valued at over $499 in services and repairs and includes 4 free oil changes. It all sounds pretty sweet, right? A multi-point inspection, including lube, oil, and filter service for just $59.99 and a free Car Care Club membership when you spend $500 or more on any service at Russell Tire, 1901 Union Avenue in Altoona, and Central PA Truck and Equipment Sales, 348 Mansion Boulevard in Claysburg. Hurry! Offer expires on February 28th.
Kepner's Grandview Meats, 1544 Pleasure Valley Boulevard. Nell and Chris have hot meals to go, available throughout the day to fit your schedule. Home-cooked goodness for the price of fast food. Roast beef with mashed potatoes and gravy, or ham pot pie. Turkey with homemade stuffing and mashed potatoes. They have meatloaf dinners. Kepner Grandview Meats, now with new hours. Open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5. Saturday, 8 to 3. Call 814-943-6328. That's 943-MEAT. Kepner's Grandview Meats.
Howdy, the old farmer here, you know, from the Almanac. You know this wonderful snowy winter we're having that I predicted? Well, it's going to bring a plentiful growing season for farmers like me and for lawn and gardens like yours. Many don't understand what winter can do for growth, but the McCoy family and McCoy's Lawn and Garden in Roaring Spring does. Just go to McCoy'sLawnAndGarden.com and check out their full selection of the Kubota BX series tractors and lawn equipment. Kubota is the only real choice for mowing, spreading, plowing, digging, planting. Whatever you need, the Kubota BX series can handle. The Kubota BX series is the brand that you know and trust, with easier operation, superior comfort, and a new, simpler system for attaching and detaching Kubota implements, so you can switch jobs like a pro. This spring, count on the McCoy family for the Kubota BX series that you need. Stop at McCoy's Lawn and Garden today to pick up your new Kubota. Route 36 in Roaring Spring. McCoy's Lawn and Garden, helping sow the seeds for tomorrow.
Hank FM. All right, I do want to bring up this baseball issue if you want to jump in and discuss the shift. Remember the shift? This was brought up earlier in the week. Well, they banned the shift a couple years ago. You can't do it. You have to have two infielders on either side of second base once again. And for a number of years, the shift, it really shut down a lot of people. Matt Adams was one from Phillipsburg, Osceola. You know, when he would shift, when he would get up, the shift would be incredibly dramatic for him with all these people going into right field. And Major League Baseball got to the point where they're like, you know what, these hitters are already at enough of a disadvantage. We're going to ban the shift. And so the discussion then becomes, why didn't the hitters adjust? Why didn't the hitters learn how to figure out how to change their swings and go the opposite way? And so this is something, this came up a lot, you know, on talk shows for a lot of years. And Jerry made me think about it the other day when he called in. And I think I said, I understand why baseball banned the shift and that it was probably a good idea, because it was becoming, it had already become like a nightmare for baseball, for Major League Baseball hitters. But the flip side of the discussion is all these defenses were doing was strategically putting their people where they knew the ball was going to be hit, and therefore it's a game of cat and mouse. It's like in basketball. I'm going to play you man-to-man in this possession, then I'm going to play you zone on this possession, then we're going to trap you on this possession, and you're constantly trying to keep people off balance. And the shift was so good, it was so effective, that Major League Baseball threw its hands up and said, okay, you found such a good loophole in the rule that we can't even defend it, we can't beat it, so we've just got to get rid of it. But see, that started this whole, or it continued and blew up this whole component of hitters just getting up there and trying to swing as hard as they can And if they hit a home run, great. If they struck out, they didn't care. And that is the problem with baseball. You see, baseball is a very, very, very hard sport. You got all these pitchers out there throwing 100 miles an hour in upper 90s, and pitching has taken over. Pitching has become so dominant. I read a stat that only, I believe, five teams in all of Major League Baseball had a team batting average above 250. Only five. 30 years ago, there were only two or three teams that had a team batting average below 250. Batting average mattered. When you were growing up, batting average mattered. On TV, they'd show you batting average, home runs, and RBIs because those were the most important statistics we thought growing up in baseball. Now, batting average and RBI, especially RBIs, they're almost considered useless statistics by the nerds, the nerds who run baseball. You know, I was talking with Nathan yesterday about the movie Moneyball, and movie Moneyball is a really good movie, and there's all the analytics, and it's changed everything the way, you know, the Oakland A's started doing it 25 years ago. Now everybody does it. But it leads to a situation where your damn sport is almost unwatchable because your hitters don't care enough to make adjustments. That baseball should be, every sport should be, okay, you're doing this to get me out. Now I've got to figure out a way to beat what you're doing. And if you're going to put everybody on the right side and shift, I got to learn how to hit the ball to the left side. Well, I can't learn it. I can't do it. The whole league can't do it. So let's ban the shift. And so baseball just quit. Baseball, Major League Baseball just quit even trying to help hitters understand what they needed to do to be better. They just threw their arms up and said, okay, defensive people, you're just too smart. We can't beat you. We're going to throw in the towel. So I understand why baseball did that, but I think it has helped crush baseball because it just further proliferates this concept of getting up there, swinging as hard as you can, trying to hit a home run every time, and you don't care if you strike out. You don't care about batting average. You don't care about where the ball is put in play. I get amused to the point where I'm frustrated, and every time I hear O'Neill Cruz. You know, like, O'Neill Cruz has, like, 7 or 8 of the top 10 or 12 exit velocities in Major League Baseball in the last year or two. Oh, the Pirates. O'Neill Cruz has like 7 or 8 of the top exit velocities in the entire sport. And you start to see all these highlights and everything of O'Neill Cruz hitting a ball 16 miles an hour, and it's a line drive right to the right fielder, or it's a hard shot right to the second baseman. Now, look, I value exit velocity. I'm not telling you I don't, but if you're hitting the ball with the highest exit velocity in Major League Baseball and you're getting out on it all the time, maybe you should learn how to hit the ball a different area, okay? If you're just out there just swinging as hard as you possibly can, well, the defense knows, they still know where you're most likely to hit the ball. Learn how to hit the ball 3 miles an hour less and get on base more. That's my problem with baseball. Jai, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Hey, all right. Yeah, O'Neill Cruz, try to hit 271. Slow it down.
Yeah, right, sure. That's my issue.
Yeah, I like the shift, but I don't watch baseball.
Okay.
Stat check. So I don't have to deal with the politics of it, you know, with any of that.
Go ahead.
You know, money.
Yep.
Getting people to watch. You pretty much covered that entire topic. But, you know, I think you're wrong on Nutting, though.
Okay, go ahead.
I think he's figured out he's got to do things this way to get the Jewish crowd behind him.
Wait.
Somewhat, you know, you do the don't spend any money, save it all. But I got a topic for next week or something. Sometime maybe with you and when both of you guys are in there.
Okay.
How about a possibility of a couple guys MVP for this year?
For baseball.
Yeah.
Okay. I just thought,
you know, it's not just pirates because, you know.
I like the discussion. I mean, the number one person on my list is going to be Shohei Ohtani, but we could definitely do some preview stuff with MVP, Cy Young. You know, I'm not getting into Rookie of the Year stuff because that gets nuts. But I like trying to look ahead of who's going to win all those awards.
Yeah, I do too. But there's some surprises out. You know, like Tucker. Yeah, he has the possibility if he plays all year, he could have better numbers. Well, not quite Ohtani's, but. You know, pretty good numbers.
But just to clarify here, because I just want to make sure we're on the same page. You think I'm wrong about Nutting? You think that Nutting is not?
Okay. No, I was just joking.
Okay. All right.
Can be. He's trying to get the different crowd out there.
Yeah. Okay.
I like the way he does business.
I hear what you're saying. All right. Thank you, John. Good stuff. 946-0435. I get what you're saying. 946-0435. You want to discuss baseball? Anything else? It was a fascinating discussion. It's not just about the shift, though. It's about the mindset of Major League Baseball. Of instead of trying to teach a better way to do it. Instead of trying to educate young players on things that can benefit them that don't just include the home run. Not everything has to be a home run. I go back, I see so many highlights and discussions about Tony Gwynn. And you know what? If Tony Gwynn were coming up today, they would ruin him. They would ruin Tony Gwynn in baseball today. Tony Gwynn is the single greatest hitter who has ever walked this earth. You can give me Ted Williams and all that stuff. Ted Williams is a great player, great hitter, great American, great human being, all those things. He wasn't facing the pitching that Tony Gwynn faced. In the 40s, Ted Williams wasn't facing night after night the kind of arms and stuff. I'm sorry, they just weren't. You know, when guys throwing 350, 400 innings, they weren't. He didn't face Maddox and Glavine and Smoltz night after night after night like Tony Gwynn did. Tony Gwynn's the greatest hitter who's ever walked this planet. 338 lifetime batting average. Playing in the 80s and 90s and 2000s against extremely high-level pitching. If he came up today, if he were making his way through baseball today, they would ruin him. They'd try to turn him into a power hitter. They'd try to turn him into a pull hitter. And if you've ever watched any highlights or remember watching Tony Gwynn play, everything was to left center. Just a gorgeous swing. Could line a ball from the left-handed batter's box, could line a ball over the shortstop's head at will, like a magician. Like no matter what you throw, I can hit a line drive over the shortstop's head. That is art. That is, and, oh, I remember, let me tell a story here. So, here's how crazy life is over time with the technology. I remember hearing a story. I can't tell you the exact year, but probably the time frame. I remember hearing a story in the late 80s about Tony Gwynn and VCRs that he had tape of every single one of his at-bats. Well, duh, everybody does that. They didn't then. Everybody now can watch every pitch frame by frame, super slow-mo of every at-bat, every pitcher. You have access to all of it. Well, in the 80s, you didn't, okay? Look, for those of you, and I think I'm talking to an older audience, you remember the 80s. We didn't have all this advanced technology where you could see replay all the time. So Tony Gwynn, I remember this story. This might have been around 87. I don't know. because VCRs really kind of exploded in this country probably around 83, 84, 85, maybe somewhere in that time frame. But I remember hearing a story. I was 12, 13 years old, that Tony Gwynn had videotape of every single one of his at-bats, and he had carried around on VHS tapes, and he had like hundreds and hundreds of these tapes at a time. And as a kid in the 80s, when technology was still way distant in the future, that level of technology, it blew my mind that this guy had hundreds of VHS tapes that he traveled around with. You know, it's like, that's how far ahead of the game Tony Gwynn was. That at the birth of the damn VCR, he knew how to get access and cared enough about every component of his swing that he had a VHS, he had a recording of every single one of his at-bats, and he had watched these before every game. I think he'd go watch them between innings. And my 12-year-old self couldn't comprehend that this baseball player had hundreds of CDs. It's like, or VHS tapes. Like, who has hundreds of VHS tapes? So again, obviously now, not a big deal in the least. A lot of you probably ended up having dozens, if not hundreds, of VHS tapes of your favorite movies in the 80s and 90s and growing up and things like that. But a baseball player doing that? That was so much of a foreign concept back then. You would have never thought, but that's how far ahead of the game Tony Gwynn was. Where I'm going with that whole story is, that's how much Tony Gwynn cared about hitting and about improving his craft way, way, way before the modern day hitters have access to all this technology and they can go into the locker room right away and watch every pitch and everything like that. But we're never gonna get back to that. We're never gonna get back to that, to where hitters care enough about making sure they can hit a line drive single over the shortstop's head and how much that will help their team in a given situation, because now it's ingrained in hitters so much to get up there and try to hit the ball as hard as you possibly can. And it's like with pitchers. How many of you, you know, either growing up watching pitchers, maybe your own kid, other kids, and you say, hey, you're overthrowing. Just take a little something off. If you can't throw, I saw there's a great meme that's on social media. It says, nobody cares how hard you throw ball for. I love that. Came across a kid pitcher a few years ago. Dude had a cannon, an absolute cannon. Walked everybody, hit a bunch of kids. It was, you're scared to get in the box against the guy because he might hit you in the head. Or he might strike you out with just total gas, or he might hit you or walk you or whatever. But I always think, you know, nobody cares how hard you throw a ball for. But the nuance of taking a little something off, that's gone. The nuance of a hitter getting up there and taking a little off the swing, inside outing it to the opposite field, that's gone. Nobody wants singles anymore. The stat nerds will tell you that if you're up there hitting a bunch of singles like Tony Gwynn did, and Tony hit a lot of doubles too and some homers, but Tony was a big guy. I mean, there were people that thought Tony, if he had tried, he could have hit a lot of home runs. The same argument goes against Ichiro. Ichiro's in the discussion of top three or four hitters of all time. I'd take Ted Williams, Tony Gwynn, Ichiro, and I'll call it a day of the three best hitters of all time. I'm talking about just in terms of getting the bat on the ball, putting it in play, getting a base hit. But people said Ichiro was very, very strong. If he wanted to hit a home run, he probably could. But the knock on Ichiro is that people thought he cared more about his batting average and getting on base than he did trying to hit home runs. Well, yeah, because we all learned you're not supposed to get up there and try to hit a home run. Home runs come naturally. Well, not anymore. Jerry and Bellwood, it took me a few days to get back to some of this, but you brought up some of these issues the other day, and I, you know, just deep thinking throughout all these problems that baseball has, Jerry, it just makes my head spin.
Yeah, I agree with what you were saying. I don't know if I agree with you about the greatest hitters and all that, but that's subjective, you know. But I had a question, and then I had a comment on the tush push, which is off subject, but. How much longer do you think these networks are going to be paying the billions of dollars to these sports, which enables them to pay these players the ridiculous contracts that they're getting? You would think that viewership has been going down. I know it's been going down in basketball, and I'm sure it's been going down in baseball, probably not football. How much longer do you think they'll do that?
It does defy belief. It defies logic, does it not? Because especially with all the streaming services, viewership is definitely declining. ESPN is giving up its Sunday Night Baseball. I'm not sure if you saw that. So they're giving up Sunday Night Baseball. ESPN has realized, Disney has realized that baseball is not an overly profitable type of thing, and you have to pay so much money for these TV contracts. Now, look, football is its own discussion. I'm not even including football in this because that makes so much money for everybody. It's the goose that laid the golden egg, and they're going to keep getting as many eggs as they can. But the NBA, they just redid their television deal, and ratings are down, and the teams are shooting 53s. And you're right. It takes all of that television money to pay all of this stuff. By the way, Jerry, I'd also include college football in this. College football TV rights, I think there's so much money and passion in college football that not that I'd put it to the NFL, but it's in its own discussion too. But if we're talking baseball, the NBA, hockey, you know, golf, tennis, ratings are down across all of these sports. So, yes, you would think that these executives at these networks – would finally wise up and say, no, we're not just going to keep giving you money.
Yeah, I know with the NBA, the new contract, they got more money.
Yep.
You know, yeah, they got more money. They didn't get less. They got more money. And that's why you see these players making $40-50 million a year. And, I mean, the quality of sports has not increased with the amount of money that you pay pay players.
They're all looking for inventory. They're looking for broadcast inventory that is interesting. Sure. Netflix, do you remember when Netflix came out and they would email you the DVD and it was pretty cool? Well, then Netflix grew into one of the biggest media companies in the world by streaming everything. They were way ahead of everybody on that, and they basically put everybody like Blockbuster and everything out of business because they have an unbelievable amount of inventory, new, fresh inventory. They go make movies with Adam Sandler. They make movies with Leonardo DiCaprio and all these people specifically for Netflix. You don't even have to go to a theater. So these sports networks figure like maybe we're going to hold on to our cash cow for as long as we can. We can still sell beer advertisements. We can sell restaurant advertisements during the shows. But as the ratings continue to drop and continue, when you ask me when they're going to stop doing it, I would say it's probably still a little bit of a ways off, maybe 10 to 15 years. But I do think at some point they are going to realize they're not getting the return on these massive billion-dollar investments.
Yeah, I know that they look at it that it brings viewers to their networks for their other shows, too. I know that's the other thing that they throw into the equation. But I just don't think that that's happening as much.
Right, networks even exist? When's the last time you watched a show on CBS, NBC, or ABC? Like actually on, you know, not like a streaming network or anything. I wouldn't, kids today don't turn their TV on to go look for CBS or something like that. They go find maybe where CBS is on a streaming service so they can Netflix and chill.
Yeah, you're right. You know, watch something. I watch for the show. I don't even know what network some of these shows are on.
Right. It wasn't like must see TV like on Thursdays in the 80s when it was The Cosby Show and Family Ties and then Cheers and Seinfeld later on, all that stuff. That nobody does that anymore.
Yeah. Do you have time for the tush push?
Yeah, go ahead, man. Yep.
I think it's ridiculous that they're talking about banning it. They just came out with a study showing that there was no injuries. And the thing with the tush push, the reason that it works so well with the Eagles is they got a quarterback who was super strong, and then they have a line that's really good. Well, if you don't have that combination, it's just going to be like a quarterback sneak. You can push. I mean, there's some of these quarterbacks. You could push Doug Flutie all you wanted, you know, but you know he wasn't strong enough to do what Jalen Hurts is doing.
Okay.
So I just think it's what they're doing is they're saying we don't know how to stop it. We can't stop it.
There is that. One of the best things I saw, this was yesterday. Mark Schlereth. He's a longtime NFL broadcaster. He was on some video clip or something I saw yesterday about the tush push. We can agree to disagree on the injuries. I think an injury is going to happen at some point, but let's just say that that's not it. What he described was this, that you can have numerous people standing behind the ball runner, ball carrier, pushing the ball carrier, correct?
Right.
He explained you can't do that on defense. You can't have linebackers line up directly behind. It's illegal for defensive players to do this. So when you say you make a good point that they don't have necessarily a way to stop it, what Mark Schlereth was saying was the rules totally favor the offense in that scenario because you can't do the same type of procedure on defense. And I guess I really hadn't necessarily thought about it like that, but it was a good point. Defenders can't get behind each other and just start pushing each other for because now you've got 600 pounds of pressure. And again, you'd start talking injuries and things like that. But that was at least his explanation. I thought there was it sounded somewhat valid.
Yeah, but let's just say there's a play coming. You know the tush push is coming. You got the defensive lineman up there, and you got the linebackers. And so they crash in there. I guarantee you the linebackers can be pushing. It may not look like they're pushing, but they're pushing those defensive
linemen. Right, yeah, sure, they are. And that was kind of my first thought when he said, I'm like, well, I mean, it seems like they're doing that, but, I guess in theory the rules state you can't, like, line up directly behind somebody and push them forward. When there's collisions in there, obviously you can, but so I don't have a great answer for your question, but I would think there's going to be enough of a groundswell on this that probably the tush push will be banned, whether it's injuries or not. I think the Packers being the first team to step forward and say something, I would not be surprised at all if in the next year or two the thing goes away, because that's how the league works. It's a copycat league. If somebody doesn't like something, everybody else kind of jumps on it or for it or whatever.
Yeah, well, the Packers, just because they don't have a Jalen Hurts and they got a guy that's definitely not even in the same ballpark. Of course, who does have anybody in the same ballpark quarterback-wise as strong as Jalen Hurts? I mean, they say between him and Barkley, you know, they have these contests of who can squat the most. And, that's why it works, and the offensive line.
Yeah, they're good at it. They're obviously tremendous at it.
I don't think you stop a ban of play because it's working, and that's exactly what they're doing, and I don't think it's fair.
It's a good discussion, man. Appreciate it, Jerry. Thanks for the call. 946-0435, Nebraska man. What's up, my man?
Hey, Corey, I'm just listening to most of your callers today. We as a society, we're going to have to start realizing that ESPN has now canceled Major League Baseball games on Sundays, and it's going to be coming down where it's going to be eliminated altogether. But these networks are going to drive average people, not the rich, but, you know, low-income, middle-income, that they're going to drive them right out of these stadiums. You're not going to be able to afford to go to any games. And then they're going to hit you the other way on the TV where you might come down. If you want to see the March Madness, if you want to see the NCAA tournament, or if you want to see the college football tournament, it's going to be like a pay-per-view when it comes down the road. You're going to have to pay for it to see the games, or these regular stations are not going to put it on the air for you. You're going to have to pay for it out of the pocket. and they're just driving they're driving us away to where the point is that we won't be able to afford to do anything.
Here's what's crazy to me, Nebraska man. This is fascinating. Everybody can relate to what I'm about to say, whether you agree with me on sports or anything like that. Listen to what I'm about to say. So you're growing up and you got cable and you have 24, 36, 40 channel, whatever, however many cable channels you had. And you get a little bit older, and you could get more cable channels. You get digital cable, you get DirecTV, you get Dish Network. And if you wanted to get 150 channels, you could, okay? You just had to pay more. Now, and they were all on this one service, okay? And DirecTV and Dish Network, they still exist. Atlantic Broadband, I guess, still exists. And if you want to go, but then what happened to cable TV, everybody realized, why am I paying so much for 200 channels when I only really watch 8 or 10 channels? I'm going to get away from the big package cable TV, and I'm going to go do my little streaming thing. This little streaming thing over here, it only costs $20. I can get the 20 channels I watch for $20, okay? But what's happened over the last 7 or 8 years, now there are so many freaking streaming channels, okay? You want the Disney bundle? You want the Netflix, which is completely separate from everything else? You want to get your Paramount Plus, which has the CBS archives? You want to get your Peacock, which has the NBC stuff? All of these streaming things might cost $10, $20, $30, $40. So you have to have 8 subscriptions. This is the dumbest thing. You got to have 8 subscriptions for all of the streaming services that you wanted. Oh, and you know how much it cost you? It cost you $125, which is just what cable cost you 15 years ago when everybody started griping that I've got too many channels. So, see, that's what's happened with the separation of all these streaming services. You can't just get everything in one. Cable used to be an all-encompassing type of thing, you know, Dish Network, DirecTV, or whatever, but you end up having to pay so much. But now, me personally, we have Hulu, we have Disney Plus, we have Max, we have Netflix, we have Paramount Plus, we don't have Peacock. So I either have to pay or wink, wink, work out a deal with some family members sharing passwords to juggle all these damn subscriptions. And you know what? They still cost as much as the cable. So the whole thing is just this bizarre. I wish we could get back, quite frankly, where everything was under one umbrella again.
Hey Corey, when I was young, man, we only got three stations. We got NBC, ABC, and CBS, and then we lost the one channel, and they put Channel 4 in out of Pittsburgh. And most of my games that I listened to on the radio when the Steelers played on Sundays. You know, I sat at the table or lay down on the floor and watched it on the radio.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And, you know, when the shows back in, you know, when the Beverly Hillbillies first came out, when Gunsmoke first came out, when Bonanza first came out, you couldn't wait till the following week to see that program, you know, the next program coming on, because it was so good, the previous one, that you couldn't miss the next one because you might be missing another show.
That's right. That's exactly right.
I just think it's going to hurt everybody down the long run in the pocketbook, and I think it's going to get so far out of hand. That you know, people aren't going to be able to afford to do anything anymore.
I agree. Thank you, buddy. Thanks, Nebraska man. Rob in Bedford just texted me. He's got YouTube TV, and that's pretty good. $75 a month. That's good. That's a good deal. But you don't get your Netflix stuff on YouTube TV. So your Netflix is its own entity now. So you got to put you almost have to have Netflix, or else you're going to miss out on 30% to 40% of the entertainment stuff that's available.
The NASCAR Cup Series is heading to Circuit of the Americas this weekend, and Austin Cindric has got mad road course skills.
I think certainly having that experience doesn't hurt. A lot of similarities, but at the same time, you know, comparison to endurance racing, you know, quite a few differences as well, and how the cars work and so on. But obviously kind of got my warm up, if you will, at the Rolex earlier this year. A lot of hours, a lot of laps logged in the GT3 there. But yeah, certainly looking forward to going back to COTA, kind of seeing what the new layout's about and what kind of new challenges that brings up. The course, I would say, is largely unchanged from cutting a few corners out, really simply. I think the larger conversation for us, at least within my race team, has been the introduction of yet another road course tire, which is supposed to be similar to what we raced at Watkins Glen, the playoffs. So I think there's probably more variables and more discussions based on around that and more potential strategy and certain things throughout the race that will be affected by having tire wear or not having tire wear, depending on, you know, where it falls. There's been repaved sections of the racetrack. But as far as the course itself, you know, the shortcut through 6A and 6B, you know, I think your restarts are already kind of single file by the time you get to the end of the S's, which is where 6A starts. I don't see a ton changing other than we're just going to run more laps. And I feel like that stadium section is going to, you know, take a larger percentage of the lap and, you know, potentially, you know, be a more important part of the lap.
You're on the final lap.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra-titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
You still thinking job change in the new year?
Yeah, I need something that's in high demand and more stable in this economy.
IT?
Yeah, cybersecurity. Maybe even AI.
That's what I did.
Really? How?
Went to My Computer Career. You don't need any prior experience, and you could start your new career in a matter of months. A lot of IT pros go to school there, too, to level up.
Sweet. Are classes online or on campus?
Both.
Well, I'll check it out. Thanks.
Make this your year. Take the free career evaluation now at mycomputercareer.com. Edu.
Financial aid is available for qualified students, including the GI Bill.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over 24 local employers and organizations. And with 2 branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
Why celebrate St. Patrick's Day for just one day when you can celebrate for 3 days? Thursday, March 13th through Saturday, March 15th, it's the Premium Cigar Trifecta St. Patrick's Day event at J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. The event will take place at both J.M. Boswell stores, Chambersburg and Alexandria. 3 cigar companies, Drew Estate, General Cigar, and Davidoff, will come together for this 3-day event. It's the Premium Cigar Trifecta St. Patrick's Day event, Thursday, March 13th through Saturday, March 15th, at both the Chambersburg and Alexandria stores of J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. For more information, visit boswellpipes.com.
And we want to thank our sponsor, J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. They are our presenting sponsor each and every day. We're going to take one more phone call here. Jim in Altoona. What's up, Jim? How you doing, buddy?
Oh, not too bad. Have you heard any more about this Stafford deal or...
No, he signed with the Rams. This is
He signed?
Yep, he is saw the news. Stafford agrees to a restructured deal with the Rams. So he's off the table for the Steelers.
I hope they don't bring in Rodgers.
They're not gonna, from what I saw earlier, there's a story on ESPN that says the Giants are now talking about adding Rodgers.
Oh, okay.
I can't see Rodgers. I can't see the Steelers. The Steelers would know that would be a ridiculous circus, and I don't think they would want to go that route with an aging quarterback who might only have 1 year left anyway. I think they are trying to find somebody that can give them at least 3-4 years.
Right. Do you think they'll move up in the draft with Dallas somewhere to get a quarterback?
I do not. The Steelers will not trade up in the draft. That's just not their MO. Hey, by the way, since Tuesday, we're doing a black and gold breakdown show from 4 to 5. We're going to talk Steelers for a whole hour on Tuesday, Jim. So be sure to tune in then, man.
Okay, thank you.
All right, we'll wrap things up after this.
Why celebrate St. Patrick's Day for just one day when you can celebrate for 3 days? Thursday, March 13th through Saturday, March 15th, it's the Premium Cigar Trifecta St. Patrick's Day event at J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. The event will take place at both J.M. Boswell stores, Chambersburg and Alexandria. Three cigar companies, Drew Estate, General Cigar, and Davidoff, will come together for this three-day event. It's the Premium Cigar Trifecta St. Patrick's Day event, Thursday, March 13th through Saturday, March 15th, at both the Chambersburg and Alexandria stores of J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. For more information, visit boswellpipes.com.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the three-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
Business taxes. Was stressing about all the time and all the money you spent on your taxes.
This is my bill?
Now Business Taxes is a TurboTax small business expert who does your taxes for you and offers year-round advice at no additional cost, so you can keep more money in your business. Now this is taxes. Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com/business. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service.
Spring forward with real unlimited data from Straight Talk this tax season and get a free Samsung Galaxy A16 5G or Moto G Power 5G 2024 with select plans. So you can stream games during Mad March hours, check the weather for April showers, and watch gardening videos about May flowers. Straight Talk, real unlimited data. Available at Walmart and StraightTalk.com. Offer valid through 4/15/25. Taxes and fees apply. Requires purchase of single line Gold Unlimited plan or higher. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com.
Hank FM. Good show today. Lots of good calls. This was a really good week. Lots of good discussion on numerous topics. I've mentioned a few times. It gets a little slow now, so finding some fun, interesting things to talk about every day. Hey, if you got something you want to talk about, I want to hear from you. Breaking news in the NBA, Joel Embiid is going to miss the remainder of the Sixers season with his knee injury. So he is now done. What an epic collapse for the Sixers. And just a disaster of a year for him, for the team, for Embiid, everybody involved there. That's, man, all that process talk and them thinking they were close and getting James Harden and the whole Ben Simmons debacle. And here we are, the Sixers, they're about to fall apart. And you got a great player in Embiid. And, yeah, you're going absolutely nowhere. Folks, appreciate everybody tuning in this week. We got some good weather on tap for the weekend, so hopefully you get out, have some fun, enjoy the weather. Don't forget, programming reminder coming up on Tuesday. This show will be our Black and Gold Breakdown from 4 to 5, so it won't be a regular Sports Central show. It'll be Black and Gold Breakdown from 4 to 5. We'll spend a whole hour recapping some of the latest news on the Steelers. Have a good week, everybody. Talk to you Monday.
Sports Central is an exclusive presentation of 96.1 Hank FM. WKMC Roaring Spring, Altoona.